Okay, Shabbat Shalom again. We will start our Sabbath study today. And, you know, in a way, kind of on the same theme as our Torah reading here, our scripture reading, but a little bit different subject. But, you know, I think one thing, and we talked a lot about this in your time here at the school, and we're talking about it more today, is you really, it's when you're getting into any of these kind of subjects, you can't really do justice to the subject if you don't look at the cultural aspect of some of these things. You know, because some of them make no sense unless you're looking at the culture doing it. And today I'm going to give a little study on keeping the Sabbath day, the keeping of the Sabbath day. And I think to a degree it's the same thing. You know, that cultural wise, maybe we don't fully understand, you know, or fully grasp really the commandment of what is it to keep the Sabbath holy? What are the requirements of us? What are the blessing that we have on the Sabbath day that we're actually protected from, as we're going to see? That the Father, this day is a day that he's sanctifying us. He's protecting us from something. So what is it he's trying to protect us for? Let's start in Exodus 20. And I don't know if you ever noticed, but the commandment for the Sabbath day is a little bit different from Exodus to Deuteronomy. And we'll read both of them. Discuss that here. Since we are taping today, if you have any comments, if you could please write them down and hold them to the end. And we'll be more than happy, or anything you'd like to discuss when we're finished. Exodus 20 and verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, set apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you and your son and your daughter, your male slave, your slave girl, and your livestock, and the stranger who is in your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all which is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. On account of this, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. An interesting, not for us, but people in the Christian world, that they'll try to say the Sabbath doesn't go back to creation. Which is absolutely absurd, because right here in the commandment, what is it doing? It's showing right back the direct link, the direct line of why the Father's, you know, set the seventh day apart, because of creation. Because of creation week. And we know that, I'm not going to go there, but in Genesis 2, it talks about that Yahweh's work was not complete until he rested. The actual rest completed it. It's the same way. Our week, we work for 6 days, and our work is not done until we cease from our work. So actually, the ceasing from your work is actually a part of work. It's a part of the faith in Yahweh. You know, and hopefully we're having faith in Yahweh all week long, but literally by ceasing from that work. And it doesn't matter whatever your work is. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a lawyer or a fireman or a janitor or computer programming. The Bible is very clear. No matter what your work is, you're to cease your work on the seventh day. There's no exceptions. You know, and I know that there's even some messianic teachers out there telling people that if they work in the medical field or something, that it's okay to work on Shabbat. Absolutely nonsense. There's nothing in Scripture that even remotely says anything like that. And it's pretty serious. We're going to read it. You know, to break the Sabbath is death. Because the Sabbath is the very sign that Yahweh set apart to make you a child and him your Abba, your daddy. And to desecrate that sign, literally we see his death. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. We'll just read the other part of this commandment. In verse 12 through 15, it says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it set apart as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. Observe the Sabbath day. There's some people who start their month by visually sighting a crescent because of Deuteronomy 16, where it says, observe the month of Aviv, but it's the same word here, Shamar, and it's not to look at. Because when the Sabbath started last night, when the sun set, did anyone see the sun? No, it's the absence of the sun that the day started. So observe literally means to guard and protect. It doesn't mean to visually sight. But we're to observe the Sabbath day to keep it set apart as Yahweh Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the seventh day shall be a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not do any work, You, nor your son, your daughter, your male slave, your female slave, your ox, your ass, or any of your livestock, or the stranger that is within your gates, so that your male slave and your female slave may rest like yourself. So again, we see the precedent here. No work. It doesn't matter if it's cooking, cleaning, dishes. No work. No work whatsoever is to be done on Shabbat. It's a blessing for us, as we're going to see, why the Father does this. You know, because of the curse of Adam and how we're able every seventh day to put that curse aside and literally to enter his rest, to enter a type of his millennial rest every seventh day. He blesses us with that. But no work is to be done. And clearly, our slaves, our children. So again, if you're the owner of a company, and I believe it or not, there's some brethren, some that are even ordained, that are leaders in congregations, and they have their work crews going out and working on Shabbat, going out and doing work. But we know anything that's under your jurisdiction. Now again, we're staying here at a hotel. You know, if the owner of this hotel came in and he was working, that has nothing to do with us. But in your room, you know, we would not have a maid come into our room on Shabbat. Anything that's within your jurisdiction, where you have jurisdiction, your house, you know, so if you have children in your house, it doesn't matter whether they're small children or teenagers. You have the jurisdiction in your house, and nobody in your house should be breaking Shabbat. It's your responsibility, whoever the leader of the house is, to make sure that no work is being done. And again, like I said, we're going to see, it really is a blessing to us. It's not a restriction, you know. I mean, I know I enjoy cooking to a degree, but I certainly, you know, I'm happy when all that stuff is done on Friday and we can just enjoy it on Shabbat. You know, it certainly is not a curse that we don't have to work. Leviticus 23. Another thing that's interesting, there's the biggest group of Sabbath keepers in the world, the Seventh-day Adventists. There's more than 4 million members. They keep the Sabbath, but they don't keep the holy days, which I can't understand why, because when you go to Leviticus 23, you clearly see they're together. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy gatherings, these shall be these. These are my appointed feasts." These are my appointed feasts. Work is to be done 6 days, and on the seventh day shall be a Sabbath, the rest, a holy gathering. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh in all your dwellings. So very clearly, when he's going over the set apart times, the Moedim, the very first one is the Sabbath day. So how do you separate? Why would you keep the Sabbath day and not keep the holy days? And I know the Seventh-day Adventists teach that Colossians 2, you know, that the holy days somehow are nailed to a torture stake, but the Sabbath isn't. It makes no sense to me. It's not good theology. It's not according to Scripture. But clearly, all of the holy time are together in one set. The Sabbath is the first of those Moedim. It's a weekly Sabbath. And then we also have 7 annual Sabbaths. So every one is important. Every one tells the plan of salvation. You know, and like I said, we get, I don't think we're going to have time today to go to Hebrews 3 and 4, but when you look at the rest that comes through Messiah, you know, when you look at the two things we read in Leviticus, or in about the Sabbath in Exodus, the first one talked about creation, but where we read in Deuteronomy 5, what did it go back to? About being slaves in Egypt, coming out of slavery. And the rest we have in Messiah, the rest we have when we have His Spirit, you know, it's a type of millennial rest, but there's still a weekly Sabbath. There's still one day of the week. And in the Hebrew, it's very clear, and also the Aramaic, the way that the participle is, that it is clearly one day. It's not a rotating day. It's not a day that can go from month to month. It clearly is one day. One day. The seventh day, Saturday. What we call Saturday. The seventh day. And I say it's amazing when you think about it, that in a world we've had 6,000 years, we've had hundreds if not thousands of calendars and civilizations and everything. But for the most part, in 6,000 years, the world has always been on a 7-day week, you know. So why is that? Because the Father has always kept this structure. Exodus 16. verse 22. We'll see something else about it. And like I said, I think it's important to go over something like this because, and again, just in this room, we're coming from all over the world. We have different cultures. And we want to make sure where we're looking at the Sabbath blessing, you know, that we're understanding the cultural environment that the Father gave this in. And that we're not allowing our culture today to supersede, you know, the meaning of the Sabbath blessing of what he had there. Exodus 16 and verse 22. So we're seeing certain precedents that we've already set down. One is no work is to be done by us or anything that's within our authority. You know, some people, they don't want to go to a restaurant because they feel that when you go to a restaurant, that person's your slave. That's utter nonsense. When you go to a restaurant, that person is not your slave. We're not to go to restaurants for another reason that we're going to see here in a few minutes because, you know, you're taking your sanctity away and we're not to transact money. But when you go to a restaurant, that person's not your slave. You know, I was a restaurant owner. Jay's a restaurant owner. You know, try to tell me that when my customer comes in to buy off me that I'm his slave. That's just utterly ridiculous. You know, you're going in as a customer. You know, they're providing a service and you're getting that service for them. So, you know, again, when you're talking about somebody who is under your jurisdiction, you're talking about family members, you're talking about guests, you're talking about somebody that's within the jurisdiction that you have. If somebody is within your borders that you own, you know, or you're renting, then they'll have to keep the Sabbath day according to Scripture, or you'll be responsible for it. Exodus 16 tells us something else now about this, about preparation. Verse 22. Exodus 16 and verse 22. And it came about on the sixth day, and this is with the manna, they gathered double bread, two omers for one. And all the leaders of the congregation came and reported to Moses. And he said to them, that is what Yahweh said, tomorrow is a rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. What you will bake, bake, and boil with you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that is left over to keep it until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, and no maggot was in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. You shall gather it 6 days, and on the seventh day is a Sabbath, in it none shall be found. And it happened on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather and did not find any. And Yahweh said to Moses, until when will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws, my Torah? Behold, because Yahweh has given the Sabbath to you, therefore he is giving you 2 days of bread on the sixth day. Each one of you remain in his place. Do not let anyone go out from his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day. Now again, in context, what is he talking about going out? He's talking about going out to gather manna. Some people just rigidly look at those three words in this one sentence and take it out of context, that you're not supposed to even leave your dwelling on the Sabbath period. Well, we know Yeshua was in the grain fields picking grain on the Sabbath day. So certainly he didn't believe he's not allowed to leave his dwelling place. There were synagogues everywhere. Yeshua was in the synagogue. Paul was in the synagogue. They had to leave their home to go into the synagogue. You know, so the commandment is not saying we cannot leave our home, you know, on the Sabbath day. But it's saying clearly we're not to leave our home to go out to gather, to work. You know, to do our food. And clearly what we see here, what you will bake, bake, what you will boil, boil. All of your food preparation should be done on Friday. Everything. Everything should be done on Friday. You know, the Sabbath is not a day for doing hard work. It's not a day for doing heavy cooking. You know, everything that we should do. And one of the problems is because of the society we live in today, it's hard enough for people to get Saturday off. You know, a lot of people now, Saturday is a regular work day. Can you imagine having to take off half a day Friday besides Saturday? And I think that's where the biggest problem in preparation for the Sabbath comes. Not in the Sabbath itself, it's that people are not using Yom Shishi. They're not using the preparation day properly. You know, and I know, you know, I'm not criticizing. I know everybody has things in the world. I know that there's people that are single parents. There's people that have to work till certain times. But really, if you're going to get the blessing of the Sabbath, you have to use the preparation day or you're going to lose that. You know, it's not to work till the very last minute. Sunset is 6:57 and you're getting out of that office at 6:56. You know, because now you didn't do any preparation. You're not going to be ready for the Sabbath. You're not going to prepare. You're not there at your house to welcome the Sabbath in with your family. You know, the Sabbath is a day of peace. It's a day of rest. You don't want to be rushing down the highway 3 minutes into the Sabbath trying to get to your house. It just is taking away from that sanctity. And what we're going to see, a common thread, because really what I'm going to try to show you today is the blessing of the sanctity that Yahweh gives us in this day. And Satan wants to steal that from you. Satan wants to steal it from you. Because this day is not meant to restrict you. It's meant to set you apart and to bless you. And if Satan can take that away from you, he will do it at any corner. But clearly from this we see that all preparation should be done on Friday. And again, we shouldn't be doing any cooking, cleaning, anything on Shabbat. Exodus 35. One through three. And Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, "These are the words which Yahweh has commanded to do them. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day it shall be holy, set apart to you, a Sabbath of rest to Yahweh. Everyone doing work in it, dying shall die." Wow. So this isn't just 40 lashes minus one. This isn't, you know, a little slap on the wrist. This is you work and desecrate something that Yahweh set apart as holy, it's death. "You shall not kindle a fire in all your dwellings on the day of the Shabbat." Shall not kindle a fire. Now again, we're in chapter 35. What just happened in the verses before here, the chapters before here? Moses is talking about building of the sanctuary. He's talking about creating all the things for the tabernacle. We're talking about industrial fire. And when you look at this Hebrew word in the context, literally he's talking about, you know, industrial work. Industrial work. So we already know we're not to do any cooking on the Sabbath. That's clear. But also any kind of industrial fire or whatnot. You know, and there's people I know that some of their only heat has to do with wood. So there's nothing wrong with if the fire has already been started. You wouldn't want to start a fire on Shabbat because it's a lot of work. You've got to go get all your kindle. You've got to get your intermediate wood. You know, when we lived in Italy, you know, we didn't have heat. It was only a fireplace. So we made sure on Friday night we had the fireplace shoved up with all the wood as much as possible. And when we would wake up in the morning, there'd be just a few little embers of coals. And we would just throw another piece of wood on and it would pop up on its own. No work involved. So it doesn't say you can't put a piece of wood on a fire. It says you're not to kindle a fire. You're not to go out and chop the wood. Get it all together. Prepare it. Do all these things. Because it's work. It's a lot of work. But keeping a fire going is nothing against it. Nehemiah 10. Verse 29. Nehemiah 10 and verse 29. It says, "Making strong their brothers, their honored ones, and were entering into a curse and into an oath, to walk in the Elohim's Torah, which was given by Moses, the servant of the Elohim, and to keep and to do all the commandments of Yahweh your master, and his judgments and his statutes. And we swore that we would not give our daughters to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land should bring goods or any food to sell on the Sabbath, we would not take from them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. And they would forego the seventh year in the entrance of every hand." So very clearly from the scripture, this isn't so hard to understand. Should we be going to the market on the Sabbath day? Should we be transacting money? Of course not. We should not be transacting money. If we go to Nehemiah 13, whether that's putting gas in your car, whatever you need, you do it all on Friday. And we'll see here in a minute why Yahweh gives us this blessing. Nehemiah 13 and verse 15. Because every time you see the Sabbath, you see that little word set apart. Holy, sanctified, Kodesh. Always associated with us. Nehemiah 13 and verse 15. "In those days I saw in Judah one treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and loading asses, and also wine, grapes and figs, and all burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them on the day they sold food. Men of Tyre also lived in it, who brought fish in all wares and were selling on the Sabbath to the sons of Judah, even in Jerusalem. Wow. And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing that you do, defiling the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do this? And did not our Elohim bring all this evil on us and on this city? Yet you are adding more wrath on Israel by defiling the Sabbath. And it happened when the gates of Jerusalem began to be shaded as the sun was setting. So does it tell us what time the Sabbath starts? It's sunset, right? And it happened when the gates of Jerusalem began to be shaded as the sun was setting, just before the Sabbath began, I commanded that the gates should be shut and commanded that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gate so that there should be no merchandise brought in on the Sabbath day. And the merchants and sellers of all the wares stayed the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said to them, why are you staying around the wall? If you do it again, I will send a hand against you. From that time, they did not come on the Sabbath day. And I said to the Levites that they should be cleansing themselves, and they should come guarding the gates to sanctify, once again, every time you see it, Sabbath, sanctify, Sabbath, sanctify. O my Elohim, remember me for this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. Remember what we said? What Yahweh works in patterns. He works in the circular, not in the linear. As soon as you find the pattern, the rest is easy. You know, the letter of the law doesn't change the application made. So what are we clearly seeing? The purpose of the Sabbath day is, it's sanctification. It's setting us apart from the rest of the world. It's setting us apart from the rest of the world. No buying, no selling, no exchanging money. We should not even be discussing any form of business on the Sabbath day, as we're going to see here in a few minutes from some other scriptures. But 6 days, 6 days we do our work, 6 days we do our preparation, and the seventh day is the Sabbath where we're set apart from that. Well, what are we set apart from? What are we set apart from? Let's go to Genesis 3, Genesis the third chapter, and start getting into the blessing of the Sabbath day, the blessing of this sanctification. Genesis 3 and verse 17. It says, and he said to the man, this is after the downfall of Adam and Eve, and he said to the man, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, the ground shall be cursed because of you. You shall eat of it in sorrow all the days of your life, and it shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For you have been taken out of it, for you are dust, and to dust you shall be turned. So here we see that for 6 days, right here, and I think all of us live in this world, we know it. It is sometimes just getting our daily bread. It's a chore. You know, it's a daily grind. But 6 days we are cursed in Satan's world to have to work in his world, to struggle in his world, to overcome in his world. But on the seventh day, we are blessed to come out of Satan's society. Isn't that something? I mean, we all look forward to the millennium. And again, you know, some of us may be alive by the time Yeshua returns. Some of us may be sleeping in the ground. But yeah, we're willing. All of us are going to be there. And I know for me, it's something that keeps me going every day of my life. Because I certainly don't live for this society that's getting worse by the day. Satan's society with all the evils that he has, you know. The wickedness, we've talked about it many times in every form and fashion. You know, Hollywood and all these things. All the wickedness of television and all this other stuff. And we have to work in this. You know, we have to deal with it. Like Paul says. You know, he says, I command you not to deal with fornicators. But he said if it was not fornicators in the world, you'd have to leave the world. So we have to work in jobs where we're working with people that are liars and crooks and adulterers. And we have to sweat by the sweat of our brow. We have to work hard just to survive every week. But on the seventh day, Yahweh says, I am going to bless you. I am going to take you out of this. I'm going to sanctify you, set you apart. And we get one out of seven to enter His rest. To be only with brethren, to be lifted up, to be hearing the words of Yahweh. to literally have communion with Him, to be one with Him. You know, Daddy Sunday, that's what I call it. And not Sunday, Daddy Son Day. It's the day for Daddy and his son, his children. You know, that really what this day is about. It's a special day to set us apart from everything out there. And that's why I say, I don't want the internet on the Sabbath. I don't even want to watch the news. We used to watch half hour news years back. And I thought to myself, you know, even if the world ended, let me enjoy one last Sabbath before I have to find out. There's nothing going on out there that you need to know. You know, we don't need to know the latest rumor about Obama or whatever else is going on. You know, we are blessed that you have 24 hours that you can leave the world behind. And every time you go on the internet, every time you turn on a TV, even if it's the news, you're going to lose that. Any influence you have with the outside world, instead of Yahweh and His congregation, you will lose a piece of that sanctification. And sometimes we can't help it. We might have unconverted mates, you know, and we're living with them. But every single time you have any influence, and definitely people that are not Shabbat covenant people, you will lose a piece of that sanctification. We just had my parents here. It was wonderful to have them. I love them. And they'll do anything we ask them. They're respectful. You know, they don't do anything or try to get us to break the Sabbath. But just their presence takes a piece of that sanctification away. Because they're not covenant people. Because they're not going to 24 hours only talk about the Bible. They're not for 24 hours not going to talk about their own things. They can't. It hasn't been given to them. They haven't been blessed with this. So whenever you bring in anybody that's not a covenant person into your fellowship, you know, you are taking a piece of that sanctification away. And it even includes videos. You know, even Torah observant videos. I know some people, they'll listen to Torah people as a video. And that person sells his stuff. What did we just read? You're not to buy and sell on Shabbat. So if I'm watching a video of somebody who's supposedly a Torah observant believer, and he's selling that video, I'm promoting that video then on the Sabbath. Because maybe it's a good message. And maybe five people in the audience will say, well, where'd you get that video from? I want to buy it. So even inadvertently, I'm promoting the sale of that. Which is abominable anyway for Torah observant people. You know, there shouldn't be any Torah teacher who's selling it. We talked about that, putting the word of Yahweh in a cart. We talked about that last week. But some are doing it. So is that something that you want to bring into your fellowship? Do you want to have somebody, oh, well, he's a good Torah teacher, who's selling that word on Shabbat? It's going to take your sanctification away. And it's breaking the Shabbat. We are not to buy and sell on Shabbat, period. So that would restrict any, even if they're Torah observant, from watching any kind of videos or sermons from somebody who's doing that. Let's go to Luke 4, because I really want to stay on this point, because I think it is so important not to let Satan rob us of this blessing. Because it's a blessing that no matter what happens during the week, if your house burns down, if you're Job and there was death in your family, if you lost your job, if no matter what happens those 6 days, every seventh day you have the right to claim this blessing. Every seventh day. It's something that Yahweh put in there as a measure, the same way the holy days. It's a clock in the sky. And if you keep the holy days every year, and you teach them to your children, you will never lose the plan of salvation. Starting with the Passover, going to Shavuot, into Sukkot in the fall holy days, you'll never lose it. And the same way here, it is a safeguard, a human safeguard, that one out of every 7 days, we can come out of Satan's society and be absolutely blessed for 24 hours. And yet out there, what are they telling us? They're telling us that we're under a curse for this. They're telling us it's bondage, you know? The bondage is the 6 days in Satan's world. The bondage isn't being with Yahweh's people in here on the Sabbath day. So Luke 4 in verse 5. Luke 4 in verse 5. And this is when Satan was tempting Yeshua. And he says, leading him up into a high mountain, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, to Yeshua, I will give this authority and their glory to you, because it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Then if you worship before me, all will be yours. Now Yeshua didn't argue with him. that all of these kingdoms in this world are Satan's and he has authority over them. Yeshua never said that. You know, Yeshua just clearly told him, you know, it has been written, you are to worship Yahweh, your Elohim, and him alone. But Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the leader in this society. Satan does have his cohorts, you know, we know. Even ministers, even religious people that are working for Satan. It says it. If Satan is an angel of light, don't be surprised if his ministers are also come as angels of light. You know, it's not the purpose of this sermon to get into all this, the globalism and all that stuff, but we know that many people that are world leaders today are 33rd degree Masons. They've taken a vow to Lucifer. So it's no doubt who's running the world out there. But never forget who's running the world in here. And the spirit in you is stronger than the spirit in the world. See, this is where we come every seventh day to refuel ourselves. This is where we come to strengthen ourselves. This is where we come together so we can go back out there 6 more days and bear fruit to Yahweh. But we need it. We need it. And that's why I say, you know, it's the Sabbath is not for people that haven't made that commitment yet. It's not for people that just come off the street that might want to see what you're doing. You have Bible studies for that. You know, it doesn't mean somebody has to be baptized, but they should at least be accepting. They should be accepting that this is a set-apart day for Yahweh. You don't want someone coming in here and fighting with you, you know, whether Saturday or Sunday is the Sabbath on the Sabbath day. It'll take your sanctification away. And like we said, every single point that talks about the Sabbath is to set you apart for a blessing. And that's why Satan wants to steal every single Sabbath blessing from you. He wants to take it away. Now, how has Satan used his system from the Garden of Eden, from that time? He's used it through a system of trading. A system of trading. And that's basically the system we have today is called what? World democracy. What is world democracy? It is a globalized, very intricate system of trading that they have. They have the International Monetary Fund. They have the World Bank. They have. I mean, it is so intricate you can't even imagine. But it's all under Satan and all his leaders, and this whole system of trading is set up for him. Yahweh's isn't a system of trading. That's not Yahweh's ways. Yahweh's way is a system of give. You have 2 coats, your brother has none, give it to him. You know, you need this more than I need it here. Take it, it's yours. It's not a barter system. It's not a system of trading. But who does have a system of trading? Let's go to Ezekiel 28. We'll see who is... runs the system of trading. And what is Babylon all about? Trading, right? In end time, Babylon, the system of Babylon is all about trading. How has America prospered for these 70 years? How have they run the world? Sure, they have the greatest military, but how were they able to fund that military? Through trading. Through trading. Ezekiel 28 and verse 1. And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, so says Adonai Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am El, I sit in the seat of Elohim. Who else but Satan himself? In the heart of the seas. Yet you are a man and not an El, though you give your heart as the heart of Elohim. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. Every one of the secret things are not hidden to you. With your wisdom and with your understanding, you have made riches for yourself and have worked gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have multiplied your riches and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. If you go on there, you very clearly see it. You are the covering cherub that were in the garden in my holy mountain. No doubt this is Satan the devil who he's talking to. And he's saying, by the system of trading, that's the way Satan has done it. You know, and that's why most of the people in Yahweh's congregation aren't rich and multimillionaires. Although there's a few that Yahweh calls, but there's not many. It doesn't say none, it says there's not many mighty, Corinthians 1:26. Not many men of noble birth. Most of the ones of noble birth are out what? They're out there in this global system, you know, trying to do that. So we are blessed that every seventh day we can come out of that system. We could be sanctified. We could be set apart. And we could strengthen ourselves. And you know what? When you come between these 4 walls, it doesn't matter what is going on in your life. I gave a message like this years ago, and somebody came up to me afterwards, believe it or not, and said, I'm offended at what you said. I said, whoa, what did I say that offended you? They said, you said on the Sabbath that we can be blessed and not have to worry about anything else. That's a lie. I said, it's not a lie, because I'll tell you something. You know, I went through in my life, I went through my hell, I went through the deepest point of my life. I went through bankruptcy and things that I would never want anybody to go through. And I know the only thing that got me out of that darkest part of my life was Yahweh's Sabbath day. And I know when Sunday, when Friday evening came and the sun set, I would literally put everything out of my mind. Why not? My problems weren't going away anytime quick. So to have a 24-hour period where I could actually forget my problems and just worship Yahweh, be with His people, be lifted up, get strength. And every Saturday night as the sun was setting and I go in my room and say my prayer, I'd have tears in my eyes. You know, knowing another week's coming, got to face it again. But for that 24-hour period, yes, you can come out of the world. Yes, you can be sanctified. Yes, you can leave all your problems at the foot of the throne. You can do it. It's a blessing from Yahweh. It's a guarantee from Yahweh. And it's the sanctity that He's trying to give us here. And I'm telling you, Satan wants to take that away from you. Satan wants to take it away from you because his system is one of trading. And like I said, then we go back for 6 days. You barter. You give 40 hours, they're giving you this little paycheck with so many numbers on it. Everything is bartering one way or another. That's Satan's world. Yahweh allows it. That's what we do. But we know on the seventh day it's going to be different. We know when the kingdom comes. It's going to be a whole totally different system. It's going to be a system of love, of outgoing concern, of give without looking in return, of just meeting people's needs, of love, service. And this is why we come together every seventh day. We come together to keep all that outside. The biggest thing with the Sabbath day, and all the work and all this other stuff we started with, all that is to get your mind away so you can be sanctified. That's not what we're supposed to be focusing on. To me, it's pretty easy. Don't do any work. Great. I got it. One sentence. Throw that away now. Now let's get into being sanctified. Now let's talk about the blessing that comes through leaving all this stuff behind. One other thing, Isaiah 58, when we're talking about the sanctification, because you know, it's not only unconverted people that can take that sanctification from you. You can actually take it away from yourself. You can defile yourself and take that sanctity away. So I know a lot of times we always like to put the blame on other people, but I think most of the defilement of the Sabbath day is coming from within, not from without. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If you turn your foot away because of the Sabbath from doing what you please on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight to the holiness of Yahweh, the setting apart to Yahweh, glorify and shall glorify Him to the holiness of not doing your own ways, from finding your own pleasure or speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth and make you eat with the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Wow. So now it's more than just not working. It's more than just ceasing from our normal job. We have to mentally up here. We have to mentally up here not be speaking our own words, doing our own pleasure. You know, for years, like I said, 27 years, I'm in this faith. And I could tell you, many more Sabbaths than not, as soon as the sermon was over, and you hear the conversations. Broken car that week. You know, what's a new movie playing at the movie theater? What's on sale in ShopRite? I mean, it would just go on and on and on. And it's very clear. It's very clear what he says. If you speak your own words and seek your own pleasure. You know, it's not the day for going to the ball game. It's not the day for hiking up a mountain. It's not the day for seeking pleasure. And you know, the Pharisees, they want to come. You know, is it wrong to go in the pool on the Sabbath? You can't figure it out. You know, if you're in your house and it's 114 degrees and you want to jump in the pool for 2 minutes to cool off, yeah, that's not wrong. But yeah, if you're out there for 2 hours swimming and playing the pool games, there, come on, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. That's why most of these questions that people come up, if you have the Holy Spirit, it should be self-evident. The same way going out in nature and going to a park and talking with your family about Yahweh and maybe reading Scripture, is that breaking the Sabbath? No. But you want to put your hiking boots on and take 6 miles up Mount Hermon? You know, the key is this. Yahweh knows your heart. So it's not for a man, it's not for a rabbi. It's not to come to the rabbi and the rabbi to decide, yes, son, you can do this. No, son, you can't. Because you can even fool yourself, but you can't fool Yahweh. And in the end, who is the loser? Ourself. Because Yahweh stays sanctified no matter what. His sanctification never loses. But when we come outside of the realm of this, we're only losing our own sanctification. We're losing our own blessing. Every single week, there is a blessing in this day. Every single week. Ask Yahweh for it, and then live it. Ask Him for it, and then live it. And you want to make sure you get it? You know, then when the Amen goes out, you go to someone and you encourage. Give a word of wisdom. Give a word of encouragement. Help somebody. Talk about Scripture. Be uplifting. You know, do exactly what He says to do in this day. You know, be an encouragement to somebody else. And just don't speak your own words. Don't speak your own words. Don't seek your own pleasure. I had a rabbi years ago that liked my book, The Great Falling Away, and he called me in Jerusalem. He's one of the top rabbis there. He actually asked for more copies. He wanted to give them to all the rabbis. And when I was telling him that we don't do the oral law, he said to me, but how can you keep the Sabbath day? You know, he said, we have 1,000 laws here to show you. How can you do it? And I read the scripture to him. I read the one in Deuteronomy about not working, and I read him this one about seeking your own pleasure. And I said, it fits everything. What more do you need? And he thought, and he said, you know, you're right. What more do we need? You only need 1,000 laws if you don't have the mind of Yahweh. Yeah, then maybe you need 2,000 laws. But if you have the mind of Yahweh, the principle should be enough. Principle should be enough. And like I said, it's 117 degrees out, and you have not even a fan in your house, and you want to take 2 minutes and jump in the water just to cool yourself, you don't have to feel guilty. But then, you know, be careful. Be careful. Because you could be sitting out there for 3 hours and saying the same thing. Playing in the pool, doing all these water games. Maybe even going to a water park. Yeah, you know, it was so hot, we didn't have air conditioning, we took the kids to the water park on Shabbat. It's not the day for it. It's not the day. And like I said, you can kid even yourself, but you can't kid Yahweh. And this is a day that Satan, more than any other day of the week, he wants to steal from you. Because you're not out there. You know, you're not out there in the world today. You're not working. You're not the guy at the corner selling this or doing that. You are a first fruit, a sanctified child of Yahweh. And this day only matters to you and to Yahweh. This is the day for His children. You don't want to lose that. And you don't want to give it up for somebody else. Let's go to Exodus 31. Let's look at the scripture on that. Remember what I said, and we're going to read it here. Guard and protect. We're not just to keep the Sabbath. We are to guard and protect it. And we talked about things we're willing to die for. This goes on the top of my list. You know, if Yahweh has been there for eternity, and He set a sign for me and Him, and you and Him, you better believe. You know, if somebody wants to steal that sign from me, they're going to have a battle. I'm not going to give it up easily. I'm not going to just hand over to Satan something that Yahweh has given. Exodus 31 and verse 12. And Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, and you speak to the sons of Israel, charging them. So literally commanding them, only My Sabbaths you shall keep. Only His Sabbath. We don't make any other Sabbath. We don't keep our own. You know, we don't change it. Only His Sabbath. For it is a sign between Me and you for your generation. To know that I am Yahweh, your sanctifier. Every time you see the Sabbath, you see this word being sanctified, being set apart for holiness. And you shall keep the Sabbath. That's the word. You shall guard. You shall protect. Put a hedge around. For it is holy to you. The profaners of it shall surely be executed. For everyone doing work in it, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of his people. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath that rests, holy to Yahweh. Everyone doing work on the Sabbath day surely shall be put to death. And the sons of Israel shall guard the Sabbath to observe and to do the Sabbath for their generations. It is a never-ending covenant. And I don't like to say I believe in the Sabbath. He said, do you believe in the Sabbath? Because the demons believe. But they don't do. I like to say I keep the Sabbath. I do the Sabbath. Because it's not enough to just believe it. You have to do it. and you have to guard it and protect it. It is a sign forever, verse 17, between me and the sons of Israel. Daddy Sunday, you know, Daddy Daughter Day, depending who you are. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. And when He finished speaking on Mount Sinai, He gave to Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of Elohim. What does that mean to you? What does that mean that this eternal Creator, that we can't even begin to imagine His wonders and His greatness and His awesome power, that He actually set one day in seven for you to make an appointment? That's what it means. He made an appointment with you as children. What does it mean? Out of all these 60, 70 billion people that ever lived, and He says, no, but to you, to me and my children, this is forever. This is forever. Is it special? Is it special that Yahweh would make this special sign just for you? And what would you be willing to trade for that? A job? A job? Money? You know, I'm afraid of losing a job. Who cares about a job? Jobs come and jobs go. This is Daddy Sunday. You know, this is my Abba who's setting the whole universe to the side here for 24 hours to say, I'm coming down upon you. And we call His presence. That's why you have to have judicial order in your congregation, because you're calling His presence down. Do we respect that? Do we reverence that? You know? That we're literally, Yahweh is putting His presence in this day and in this room that's not anywhere else. What it means. How do we come? How do we appear before Him? You know, like I said, if you had an appointment for a worldly job, you know, everybody would dress nice to go there. And yet we have an appointment with the Creator of the universe. How do we even dress? Do we come with nice clothes? I've been shocked in the last years what I've seen. People come in ripped jeans, short pants, to appear before Yahweh? Sanctity, holiness. We don't even know what that means. We don't even have the first inkling of what holiness is. And that's cultural. That is totally cultural. Because we went from a culture that knew it. Even the Sunday keepers knew it back in the 40s and the 50s. But now we're a whole culture that we don't know the first thing about holiness or being set apart. We just don't understand it. It's not part of our culture. Worship, that's another thing that we've lost. What it means to worship. Even being on time, you know. And again, things happen. But I'm talking about if periodically, if every week, like some of the brethren were telling me in their congregations, sometimes people every week, 20, 30 minutes late. You mean you have an appointment with Yahweh? And you're going to make Him wait every week for you, 20 or 30 minutes? You know, do we reverence the greatness of Him? You know, we only read the story in Exodus, and that's why it's great being here. Because you get to see part of it. But none of us saw Mount Sinai yet rumble. But I can tell you one thing, I know it would scare my boots. For 2.8 million people to be shaking in their boots and say, Moses, you talk to us, not Yahweh. And I just think of a lightning storm, you know, a thunder and lightning. And it was probably nothing compared to what happened there. But there's been a few when we lived in Italy that, whoa, I didn't think we were going to make it. We had lightning hit our house and every single thing in our house blew up at one time. All of our electrical things, there was fire coming out of the sockets. And man, when you hear that thunder, you know who's in charge. You know, do we have that reverence for Yahweh? Because, you know, if you have the reverence for Him, a lot of these questions of what we can do and what we can't do, they disappear. They disappear because we don't want to look to the minimum standard for Yahweh. I want to do far and above whatever the minimum is. Whatever is the minimum requirement, I want to go above that. Because I want to please Him. I want to please Him. And I don't even want to not even remotely, would I want to do something to take away Yahweh's blessing in the day or the sanctification that comes by it. You know, so it's important that we have to look at this. Sabbath is a family day for other covenant believers. If Yahweh put aside the whole universe on the seventh day, like I said, at least we can do is keep the appointment with Him. And literally the word for holy convocation, You know, we're told to have a holy convocation like this is a rehearsal. You know that every week we're blessed that we're rehearsing His kingdom. And how will His kingdom be? Like we're doing here. You know? That's why we have a fellowship meal. Everybody brings. And if someone doesn't have, that's okay. Somebody else will make up. And nobody's looking for anything. Nobody's looking for something in return. Nobody's saying, hey, I brought this, you better bring this. No. We come and we all want to just give. We want to give to Yahweh first of all, and we want to give to each other as His children. You know, that's what it's about. And that's the way we're going to learn. How will we learn to love Him? By loving each other. How can you love Yahweh who you haven't seen if you don't love your brother or sister who you have seen? You know, this is our training. This is our rehearsal. Every week you come together, you're rehearsing whether you're going to qualify for that kingdom or not. By how much we love each other, by how much we have that servant attitude, by how much we're willing to give or to share. The Sabbath is a day that separates us from the rest of the world, but we need to keep it separated. It sanctifies us, separates us, but we need to keep that sanctity. Isaiah 66, there's one other aspect of the Sabbath that I tipped on, that I'd like to get into a little deeper. Just like I say, I think it's something that we've lost a lot in recent days. 66:22-23. Isaiah 66:22-23. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I make stand before me, declares Yahweh, so your seed and your name shall stand. And it will be from new moon to its new moon, and from Sabbath to its Sabbath, all flesh will come to worship before me, says Yahweh. From Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh will come and worship before me. So like I said, it's a day, of course, we refrain from work so we can be sanctified. You know, it's a day that we're coming out of the world so we can be sanctified. It's a day we're not seeking our own pleasure, speaking our own words, so we can be sanctified. But it's also a day of worship. Remember that. It's not just a day of resting, but it's a day of worship. And that's why He wants nothing else in our mind but worship toward Him. He doesn't want us thinking about the car that broke down. He doesn't want us thinking about, you know, what we didn't do at work Friday afternoon, what we left there. He doesn't want us thinking about all the physical things of our body, what we need to eat and what we need to put on. Because He provides that. This is a day to give Him worship for providing that. And that's why we sit around. We'll do it right after we eat. We'll all get a chance to get up and share something that Yahweh blessed them with. And we share it. Because this isn't the day to seek. This is the day to give blessing to Him who gave us. Every one of us. Every covenant believer, and even those not covenant believers. You know, His reign, the sun shines on the righteous and the wicked. And the rain comes down, just like here in Israel. There's a lot of wicked people here in the land. But even here, His rain still came. It didn't only rain on the areas the last week where there were righteous people. So every single person on earth really should be bowing down so they give Him worship to Yahweh. Nobody would be alive that's alive today if Yahweh took His breath away. But they don't understand it. You know, they're in the world, they really don't understand it. But we understand it. We understand what He's given us for 6 days. And that's why we come here. And to me, it's one of the most exciting parts of the day is to hear what everybody was blessed with. You know, because it's just awesome to see Yahweh's provision. To see how He takes care of every one of us in a different way. And yet we share it and we come together as a body and we share it as a body. So like I said, remember, it's not just a day of resting, but a day of worship. We need to learn reverence to Yahweh in everything we do in life. The last thing is in Mark 3, which kind of goes without saying, but yet since I am doing a message, I will say it. Mark 3. Verse 1. And again he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man who had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he will heal him on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, rise up into the middle. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to destroy that which is evil, or to give life to a soul? But they were silent. And having looked around on them with anger, being greatly grieved over the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out, and his hand was restored sound as the other. So again, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. You know, we don't want to take the sanctity away from this day. We want to make sure we're not seeking our own pleasure, speaking our own words. But at the same rate, we don't want to be like Pharisees. We don't want to be afraid. You know, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. If you look at most of Yeshua's miracles, many of his miracles were done on the Sabbath day. Because what do we say? This day pictures his kingdom. It pictures that millennial rest when no one will be sick, no one will be hungry. Nobody will have any kind of ailment. You know, the whole world will be at peace in a covenant relationship. It's such a beautiful thing what this represents. And the dichotomy of the world we're in now. You know, wow, thank you, Father, for this Sabbath day. Thank you that you give it to us. So just in recapping, like we said, you know, we want to make sure we prepare on Friday, on the preparation day, so that we keep the sanctity of the Sabbath day. We want to make sure we're not seeking our own words, doing our own pleasure. And most of all, we want to make sure that we're worshiping the one who blessed us with this wonderful, wonderful day. And I know the feast, you know, everybody loves the feast every year. And you think to yourself, wow, what if the feast could be every week instead of just once a year? And here we do. We do have a feast. We have a feast every single week that Yahweh blesses us with. So it's a great day. It's a great blessing. And may Yahweh bless every one of you as you keep it. Questions, comments, suggestions? Andrew?
On the Shabbat, I'm supposed to fast.
Not particularly. The Sabbath is a feast day, it's not a fast day. I know in times of emergencies, there could be something in your personal life that's really, really important and you need to fast to seek toward Yahweh. But in a general sense, the Sabbath wouldn't normally be a day that we would fast on. Of course, unless Yom Kippur fell on Shabbat. But it's just in general, because it's a feast day. It's a day of feasting and blessing. Any other questions? Or Larry?
Well, you said a couple of things that really struck a chord with me, because you said that it's a day to worship. And coming from where I come from, I really haven't understood worship. And I haven't understood the other concept. You said something, you said the first thing you did when the Sabbath starts is you pray to welcome the Sabbath. And spending some time with Andrew and Orlin, what they do in their countries is they don't even eat first. What they'll do is they'll pray and they'll sing with their families and they'll read before they even eat to welcome in the Sabbath, which to me is something that's foreign compared to our culture in the West, but it sure makes a lot more sense to me to worship that way and to really rejoice. That's our real feast.
Yes.
Having that contact with the Father and the sanctification and the welcoming of the Sabbath, that's more important than anything we do physically, I think. I mean, that's what I'm learning.
Yep. True. Very true.
Yeah,
Adrian?
Really glad you mentioned Hebrews 3 and 4 in relation to Deuteronomy 5. Coming out of slavery.
Yes.
So it gives me a good picture, which I never seen before.
Yeah, and it really is. It's, you know, it's the slavery that everyone came out of our life, you know, and we do have a rest in Messiah from sin, but that's why there's still one day in seven that we give him the honor for that. You know, for doing it. Orlin?
I am very thankful also for that, because for how many years I've been fighting for the Sabbath to be not compromised with any jobs that offered to me. So it makes clear to me now that it's really a blessing. Sabbath is really a blessing. The Yahweh until now is not. It's always providing me for the needs. As long as I kept Shabbat without compromising anything. Just Shabbat.
And you realize when you study it how simple it is. It's not really so difficult. But you really see the blessing. Vicki?
I have a question. I'm sorry, it might be a little negative. But if you have older children in your home, I'm talking about older teens,
yes,
maybe even 20s, and they refuse to keep the Sabbath, even though they've been raised that way, what do you do?
Well, to me, it wouldn't matter if it was an older teen, an adult, if it was even my parents. If anyone was in my house that would not respect the Sabbath day, then they would be out of there. Because it's my responsibility as the leader in that house, and there's no way I would let anyone defile the Sabbath in my house. Yeah, it's
so even strangers that are there.
Yeah, even strangers. Absolutely, yep. Andrew?
The phrase, yeah, okay, for me, I'm testifying. It happened to me one Shabbat. My mother in law came to visit me at the beginning of the Shabbat. Mm. So when I came, we were there worshiping, because for us we start at around the 5:30. Because by that time for us the day still okay, the sun still there. So we start by worshiping. She came in at 6:30. Then me, you have to cook for me water. I need water for bed. I told her, here is the Shabbat. We don't do any work. And not me alone, but everybody who is inside my dwelling. And I'm the head of the home. So I cannot allow any fire, kind of fire today, because they are coming to do water for bed.
Yes.
I told her, we are not going to do that. You eat what is already prepared on the table. If you don't eat, what will happen to you? We shall not prepare a special food for you that you have to work. To, as you know, in our culture, if mother-in-law comes in your home, you have to prepare the chicken and then you steam it, okay. That type of food, okay, is very special food for. But to that day, it was very impossible.
They have the special food for the mother-in-law?
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so, because it's unusual, not from your home. But it happened, she came on Shabbat. I told her, we are not going to compromise. She said, if that's the case, I'm going back. I said, I'll take you back. And I took her in the taxi, because I didn't like to defer the Shabbat. And that's what I did. I took her back to the taxi and she went back.
I think too, in most cases, and I know there's always the odd case, but in most cases though, if you tell somebody what your belief is or your rule, people most of the time will respect it. And we've been blessed with my family that when we're in America, we're in their house. We're in my parents' house or even in my brother's house. And they will, when Shabbat comes, they'll shut all the TVs off, like they won't cook. So they actually, and they don't have to. It's their house. It's not mine. So they could be cooking or doing whatever. But they will try as best as possible, because they know our beliefs, that they don't want to offend us, you know, to do it. So that's why, I mean, we don't want to make it where maybe someone that doesn't even know about Shabbat, you know, a relative shows up, you know, a cousin from 20 years ago, and you don't want to purposely offend them, but if you just let them know, you know, well, this is actually our Sabbath, we don't do cooking today, normally they should be courteous, especially if it's your house, you know, that they just, oh, okay, we understand, or whatever it is.
Do they still sit through your Sabbath service up to you? They stop in, whether they're leaders or not.
Well, yeah, that's the point. If they're there already, this is what I'm trying to say. You know, if somebody is there, but it will take away from the sanctity. You know, like I said, my parents, every time they're around, they want to come. We did Bible studies every Shabbat that they were over the house. And they were really interested. I asked them, what would you like to do a Bible study? We want to do it on baptism. But the fact that they're not committed to this walk, It takes away. Maybe it's 10%, maybe it's 5%. Some cases it could be 50%. But the point is, every time somebody who's not a covenant believer, and that's the reason why, you know, we wouldn't go to like an anniversary party or some kind of party if it's all non-believers. Because as soon as you go into that party, forget it, the Sabbath's over. There's no way if you go into a party of non-believers that you're going to be able to keep the sanctity of Yahweh's Sabbath in a room of non-believers. It'd just be impossible. So in the end, like we said, we're the ones, each one of us, you're the one that's going to be losing the blessing. You know, but at the same rate, you know, yeah. I mean, if it's someone coming over the house who's friendly, who's a relative or a friend or whatever, you don't want to just offend somebody and throw them out. You know, you would just, we would just, and it's a great opportunity to explain to them. You know, and even when this last time when we were there, one of my aunts called up on Saturday morning, and she asked if we could go over there to visit because we had the baby. And with my father not even asking me, he said on his own, he said, Sue, this is their Sabbath today. They won't go anywhere today, but if you want to come tonight, come tonight. Now, I wouldn't have even told my aunt that. If she came over their house, my parents' house, I would have thought it was okay. You know, I mean, it's better if she doesn't, but I wouldn't offend my aunt that way. But my father told her, without me even saying nothing, you know, come after sunset. So, you know, it's a way sometimes you can even witness to these people too, and then they might ask, well, why? Why do you do? And you could show them from the Bible what the Sabbath is about, what it means. You know, so we don't want to use it as a rigid way to hurt people or offend them, but it could be a way to witness to people. But if they won't listen, like in your mother-in-law's case, if she refuses and says, no, you know, you're going to cook or whatever, then what can you do? You know, you just can't do it. Try to give her dry food or whatever you had prepared already. But if that's not good enough, then, you know, then she'd have to make her decision on what she's going to do. Sharon?
Knowing that today is the Sabbath and knowing that Yahweh has been called into our service, I do need to apologize for insinuating that Yahweh could be a respecter of person as it relates to the care. I know he's not a respecter of person. It's just, it seemed to me the way it was written that it was questionable. And I just want to apologize to everyone here for making that insinuation.
Thank you. Larry?
Can you comment on the 6 days you shall work? Does that mean, like, on Sunday you should actually work? Or is that what are you doing?
Well, remember, like we said, when you have to look at the cultural aspect when this is being made. It wasn't where people went out to an office or they had the jobs like this. Most people were working at their home. So if you look like in Israel here, you know, Sunday is a normal work day. And if you're normally, I mean, farming and you have vegetables and you have animals, the first day of the week would be no different than any other day. You know, so there's no reason not to do it. It wouldn't make sense. That you're not going to go out to your crops or you're not going to... So I think when you just look at the cultural aspect of it, I don't think it's saying like that, you know, if something came up that it was a special anniversary or something that you didn't work on that day, you're sinning. In general, normally you would work 6 days and the 7 days is the Sabbath. But there are times sometimes, even Yeshua said to the disciples, because it said they were going so long and they didn't even have so much time to eat, he said, come away a little bit and relax. You know, that there's times where, you know, you could take a day off or take a vacation or do something or even if the if a holy day. Somebody tried to use that example on the floating Sabbath. That they said, well, it says you have to work 6 days. And, you know, what happens when your holy day comes and you're not working 6 days? And it's like, I don't know. That, to me, that just is that kind of logic just doesn't make sense to me. You know, there's always times where you might not work. So what if you're sick? You know, does Yahweh, so if you were sick to death and you have the flu or something, you're going to feel like you're sinning if you don't get out of bed and do some kind of work that day? You know, so I think that's where it is that in general, and I love it because for me, Sunday is the day that it's like I prep everything else and I'm ahead of the Western world. Because while Sunday everything's closed there and everything's off, I'm one day ahead. And I usually start Saturday night. You know, I'll start getting things ready Saturday night, and then I have all day Sunday, and by the West is just starting Monday morning, I'm a day and a half ahead of everybody. So I love it. I love having the 6 day work week. You know. Anything else before we stop for eating? Can you smell that food? Alrighty. Andrew, would you be kind enough to say the prayer on the food?